when I was in high school, one of my teachers was a magician. He was quite a good magician. Card tricks, making things disappear, coins, all kinds of things. In fact, he used to do shows. In fact, after some years after I graduated, he quit teaching and became a full-time professional magician, entertainer. Well, this presented a little bit of a problem because he knew that he could easily entertain us for the whole class, and we knew that he could entertain us with magic for the whole class. But that wasn't his job. He was supposed to teach us math. So we really wanted him to do magic tricks, and he liked to do magic tricks, but he wouldn't do them because then we wouldn't learn. Just a few, maybe in the course of a semester, maybe one or two. Just enough to show that he could do it and keep us wondering whether he would pull out a deck of cards or something. Well, this came back to my mind because in the gospel today, the Pharisees are seeking a sign from Jesus. They're not treating him exactly like a magician or an entertainer. They're putting him to the test. They want to prove that he's not really from God. Now, I don't know what they thought they could accomplish, because it was clear to everyone that Jesus was from God. He had just multiplied the loaves before this incident, and he had done many, many things. Many signs, in fact. So, it wasn't the problem that he couldn't do the things, it was that their attitude was so bad. Their hearts were closed. Now, just like my teacher in high school would not do magic tricks, even though he could do them, because it wasn't good for us, it wasn't good for our learning, Jesus will not do a sign for these Pharisees, because it won't do them any good. It won't teach them about the kingdom of God. In fact, his response to them is already an instruction and, in some sense, a sign. He says, "No sign will be given to this generation." He gets into the boat and he goes across to the other shore. His action is already a sign that their hearts are closed. A sign that they were not ready to receive what he was here to give. You could see Jesus is a very good teacher. He's an educator. He knows how to deal with students who are not interested in learning. He withdraws from them. Part of the effect would be raising questions in the minds of the Pharisees. Well, where is he going? Why is he leaving? What do we do now? So they're left not satisfied in what they wanted, and they're left hungering for something that they don't have. Now, not only is he not working a sign, now he's not even here. It leaves them empty-handed, seeking, hopefully seeking. So it's quite a good instruction, good sign. You see, the Lord has a very good understanding of the human spirit, the human psyche, the longings of the heart. He knows how easily we get distracted by our own desires, and we do not seek his kingdom. So he frustrates those desires so that we will seek what is more important. In today's first reading, we hear about the tragedy of Cain and Abel. The two brothers, Cain kills his brother Abel. Everyone knows that's very gravely wrong. Even Cain knew it. We don't have to teach people that it's wrong to kill your brother. What we do have to learn ourselves and teach others is where that evil action comes from. We have to learn the roots of it. And this is brought out in the reading very, very well. The Lord instructs Cain. He doesn't say, don't kill your brother. He says, why are you so resentful and crestfallen? Crestfallen is a downcast, upset, saddened. Why are you so resentment is anger that's not being dealt with in a healthy way. It's kind of a buried. So he's got anger that is simmering beneath the surface, and he has what we might call depression. Right? He's saddened, but not for good reason. Why are you so resentful and crestfallen? See, what the Lord is doing here, he's not talking about Abel. He's talking to Cain about himself. Who cares what Abel did and how Abel's offering was acceptable? What about you, Cain? Why are you resentful? If you do well, you can hold up your head. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master. It's a very insightful description of temptation, of the inner condition that makes us vulnerable to temptation. When we're resentful, when we are envious, when we are proud, when we're comparing ourselves to others, we are setting ourselves up for a fall into sin. So, the Lord, as I say, he doesn't have to tell him, don't kill your brother. Everyone knows you can't kill your brother, that's obvious. But it's not obvious to us that we're resentful. It's not obvious to us that we're giving in to envy. It happens subconsciously. So the Lord alerts us, usually by speaking to our conscience or awakening our conscience. Well, this is what he does to Cain. It doesn't work. Cain resists the voice of the Lord. He resists his own conscience. And he deliberately sets up Abel in order to kill him. Let us go out in the field. So this was premeditated murder. This wasn't just an impulse that overtook him. He decided to get rid of his brother. Let us go out in the field. He attacked his brother and killed him. Now we can see a little more into the inner problem of Cain. I'm going into this because in the gospel, the Pharisees have an inner problem. They have closed hearts. They are resisting the kingdom of God and Jesus' ministry. And that's why Jesus has to leave them and leave them wondering, well, now what do we do? Cain has a similar problem. He's closing his heart to the instruction of God. And here you can see how bad it is. The Lord says, where is your brother Abel? Cain knows very well where he is. He buried him. But his answer is an outright lie. I do not know. Yes, you do know, Cain. You know. But you are lying to the Lord's face. That's how hardened you have become. Then Cain makes it even worse, trying to put the blame on God, as if it's God's fault that Abel is missing. Am I my brother's keeper? It's not my responsibility. See how far denial can creep into our heart? It's not my fault. You're the one who's supposed to take care of us. Am I my brother's keeper? So two statements, short statements, but revealing a lot about the inner disposition of Cain. I do not know. Yes, he does know. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. We are called to love our brother. Love one another. Care for one another. So if someone's missing, that is our responsibility. Doesn't mean we killed them, but we are responsible for one another. Okay, all this is beneath the surface of this well-known reading. Okay, well then the Lord exposes to Cain what he has done. He has to bring it out into the open. Again, the Lord always does this. He exposes us for the sake of our repentance, so that we will realize we need to call on God and ask for his mercy. That's why our conscience convicts us, so that we will turn away from sin, turn back to God. Again, Cain, it doesn't work very well. Cain, here he says, okay, you're a tiller of the soil, but because you have, instead of burying seeds in the ground, you buried your brother in the ground, now your efforts at tilling the soil are going to be fruitless. You have to be a gatherer, a hunter-gatherer, rather than a tiller of the soil. He doesn't say, you have to avoid my presence. God doesn't tell him, I don't want you around. He says, these are consequences of your own sin. Cain is the one who says, oh, my punishment is too great to bear. Since you have now banished me from the soil and I must avoid your presence. That God never said you have to avoid my presence. Cain said that to himself. Again, fruit of sin. Sin makes us think that we should not be, we should not return to the Lord. That's exactly what we should do, is return to the Lord. Now, anyone may kill me at sight. Bit of a drama. As if he's trying to make the Lord feel sorry for him. I don't know what he's thinking. This is all distorted. This is twisted. This is what they call stinking thinking. Anyone may kill me at sight because, I mean, anyway. And the Lord has to correct him again. No. No one can kill you at sight. That's not my decree. That's just your bad thinking. So he puts a mark on Cain, which is implied to be a protection. The Lord still loves Cain, even though Cain is a murderer, hard-hearted, hard-headed murderer. The Lord protects him. Okay. Well, this is just to help us understand what goes on in our hearts. The capacity that we have to harden our hearts, to think wrongly, to let resentment and sadness and envy and anger and pride creep in and become a breeding ground for sin. It's a very good preparation for the season of Lent, which starts in 2 days. Lent is all about the inner life. We already know that we're not supposed to sin. No one has to tell us not to kill our brother. But we don't seem to know what's going on inside. So this is where Lent will give us grace, guidance, instruction, insight, so that we can make progress in the way of holiness, which is what God wants and also what we want. So instructed by the Word, instructed by the Lord, let us continue to pursue him. Even though we are sinners, let us not turn away from God, but turn toward him, for he is kind and merciful.